I'm back. Hey everyone, it's Megan Segura, and this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. You guys, it's been forever since we last talked. I've missed you so much. Let's never be apart from each other this long again. Firstly, because I just missed you and what was I doing all day? And secondly, because your messages to me via Instagram and Twitter started getting a little aggressive toward the end. I feel like it went from very sweet and, Megan, we miss you, to where the hell are you, Megan? Are you ever coming back? Well, I'm back, okay? And we have a great show for you. To begin, I am here with Eric J. Mack.
Hey. I'm here to keep an eye on you so you don't go away again.
Oh, good. So you guys should remember Eric. He gave us the most Erica Jane moment of the week. And word on the street.
Keeping everyone up to date with what's going on.
Yeah, so yes. You're going to help guest host today.
I'm so excited. I'm here to support.
Good. And like, what a great time for you to be here.
I know. We have a lot to talk about
today. Two premieres, The Real Housewives of New Jersey and The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
It's happening.
Happening.
Full speed ahead.
And then, of course, two words, Vanderpump Rules.
That's three words, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. We have the first sneak peek of the season. Ooh. We also have interviews with Candy Burris and Margaret Josephs. Plus, Eric's favorite word on the street.
I'm doing double time today.
Yeah. And you are going to give us your rose and thorn.
I'm prepared.
So let's get into it.
This season on Vanderpump Rules.
Tonight is the night that many of us thought would never happen.
I'm engaged!
You had a very emotional year, as a few other people here have.
Do not ever bring on my dad, damn you guys, bitch.
No one can replace James Kennedy, baby.
He's working for me. He needs to show some f***ing respect.
You've been in a relationship with a girl before.
It is not your business to tell.
I let you go out all the time.
You don't let me do anything. I do what I want.
Your relationship is in trouble.
It's like you dick punched my heart.
Do you think I'm stupid?
I decided to take a break from him.
You're surrounded by a lot of people that really have supported you.
No.
Yes.
And I know it's been a challenging year.
We don't have any water, we don't have any electricity, we don't have any gas.
Maybe this will be my sole duty at Tom Tom.
I'm closing my eyes, right.
What the f***, Lisa? Are you kidding me?
Welcome to Tom Tom!
Life is all about the obstacles you overcome and the challenges you rise to.
For all the boys who've done stupid s*** to us!
I'm ashamed of you, Schwartz.
You should be ashamed of yourself, bitch.
How long can you keep up this new Jack Taylor?
You're telling her basically shut up.
Let the bitches go home.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm already on the brim of freaking out.
Lisa, please.
I can't risk it.
Don't take it from me.
You're not f***ing better than me, Lala.
You're being a f***ing psychopath.
He's my father.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Stop talking over me.
Stop clapping in my face.
Everyone, who the f*** cares?
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Okay.
Oh my God.
That was so trashy.
Wow.
What? Okay, go.
I have a lot of things impressions. To say. Okay, so how many times does Lisa have to fire James Kennedy? This is like, how many times?
I know, but you know it's a good season when you have him sobbing.
I know. You need a good sob.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was worried about this season of Vanderpump Rules because in the past, I felt like I knew so much of the drama that was happening while they were filming. In this season, after Brittany and Jax like posted on social media they were engaged, I didn't really hear much.
That's true. It's been a lot more positive. I mean, there's been so much attention around their engagement that I feel like there's a lot more positivity now. And yeah. We don't really know. We haven't heard anything that's like really going on. But that trailer
made it seem like it was nothing but.
Yeah.
So I was so excited.
And what happened to Kristen at the end there? What was that all?
Oh, that's me on a Saturday night. Like, I have been that girl who's just, because the best part is that she's like, wait, what happened? What did I trip over? You're drunk.
Slow-mo. Yeah,
it was, like, it was you. You tripped over yourself.
There's a lot more of Raquel in there, too, than yes. I think I expected.
Well, I think we found out in an interview with them, I don't know, at the end of last season that they were moving in together. So I wonder if that's what we'll be seeing.
I guess so. And I'm going to absolutely incorporate Dick Punch Me in the Heart
right.
into my vocabulary.
Because that makes sense. so much.
Well, in addition to the Vanderpump Rules trailer coming out, you've actually been pretty busy too because you took a little trip to a reunion taping.
That's right. I went to the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion.
Okay, what can you share?
Okay, first of all, a big question of mine was to all the ladies, like, Jamaica episodes have just started airing. Is this causing rifts to reopen?
Right.
And basically, yeah, most of the ladies backstage told me that was not talking to them. I think she was really only talking to at the start of the reunion.
Interesting.
So you can imagine the fireworks that happened once they started filming.
Wow. Who was best dressed? Can you at least give us a little teaser on that?
Ooh, let me think. Okay. I mean, we've seen them
all. We have all seen the looks.
I thought what was interesting is they all didn't know what they were wearing when I interviewed them.
Interesting.
Which was like 30 minutes before they went right. on stage. And they were like, well, it's between this and this. I'm like, how do you not know?
Do you think Gina and Emily were more nervous than the others being it was their first reunion?
You know what? I thought that, but they were so happy to be there. And Emily was bouncing off the walls.
Wow.
She was running around laughing and like screaming. She, I think it had 5 cups of coffee or something.
Oh boy.
So they were in good mood.
Oh, that's good.
I want you guys to weigh in on what you think of the looks. We have a link in the description so you can see them all in detail. But I have to tell you one fun story. We're backstage at the reunion and they've set up like 3 or 4 rows of folding chairs for us to watch the screen so we can see everything that's happening at the reunion without being in the way, and a curtain is separating us from the ladies. Now, at these reunions, they have so many people doing so many jobs. They're part of production. So I don't even recognize most of them.
Right.
There was this older man sitting in front of me. I want to say like early 50s. And one of our interns from the LA office was sitting near him. And I was behind them. He turned to the gal and said, you know, what are you doing here? And she said, oh, I'm an intern for Bravo. What are you doing here? And he said, well, it's sort of my fault we're all here. Hi, I'm Scott Dunlop, and I created The Real Housewives.
You're in the presence of greatness.
Me and the girl I was sitting next to, we snapped our heads up, and we're like, what?
Well, was he just sitting there, like, shaking his head, like, what have I done? Or was he just like, this is my glory?
He had so many good stories.
Wow, I can only imagine.
Yeah, he was very, I think, proud, but also sort of laughing at the fact that it's become this huge
thing. He probably never expected.
Never.
We need to have him on the podcast.
Totally. And I mean, just he talked a lot about the hate he received when the show first came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
From like Orange County people specifically being like, this is not us.
Yeah. And also he said, you know, people who just felt like the way you're portraying women is not okay.
Right. Right. You can't please everybody.
No, but you know what? Please me. And you have, sir.
Right. Thank you for all you've done.
Yeah. So I can't wait for you guys to see the reunion. It's going to be epic.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the beginning of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Christmas morning.
I know.
I'm so excited it's back.
We should start by saying, though, that as of this recording, yesterday, Kenya and her husband, Mark, gave birth to little baby girl, Brooklyn Doris.
Brooklyn Doris.
Born
on RHOA premiere day.
I mean, that little girl knew what she was doing.
She really did. Well, congratulations, Kenya and Mark. We're very excited for you. And you can find out more by clicking the link in the description.
Yes. Okay, so I just have to dive in because the last time we saw Portia was at the reunion, and she was predicting to Andy that she would be the next to get married.
Yes.
Who do you all think will be the next cast member to get married?
Well, let's
Let's just say me.
You're getting married this year?
I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus.
Fast forward to not that long. Like, it's not that long between the reunion taping and when they start filming the show.
Right.
And she's practically engaged to this guy, Dennis.
Now, do you think she was dating him at that time? She had to have been.
It's possible, but also maybe not.
Right. Well, because in premiere, they say they've been together for about 5 months,
maybe.
Right? Is that what it is? Which is still quite soon to be talking about engagement.
I mean, yeah. So you and your boyfriend, Danny, are about to celebrate your 1 year.
A full year, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
No, I don't even think we've had any conversations. We've been asked once by a stranger, to me anyway, someone he knew, like, when are you two going to get married? And it was the first time about 10 months in that we were both like, oh, God,
right.
We've been asked the question, you
right.
know, but we haven't really even gotten there yet. But I kind of understand where Portia's coming from, because I think this is something she's wanted for a really long time. So, you know, granted, she may be jumping into it, but it's really, she's following her heart, or at least, you know, that's what she appears to be doing.
Right. I just am very suspicious of any relationship that moves too quickly.
Well,
I mean, Pete and Ariana, can we just go there for a minute?
Your Halloween costume.
Yes. I mean, look, I love them as much as the next person, but I knew it wouldn't last
right.
because you can't make these life-altering decisions when you're in the honeymoon phase.
Exactly.
Your hormones are going crazy. You haven't yet dealt with anything serious or, you know, life and death issues.
Right.
So I don't know. Portia is now engaged and is expecting a child with
right.
Dennis. So clearly she saw something that we don't.
Right.
And I will say, for some people, moving fast and furiously does work.
It's true.
Lisa Vanderpump and Ken Todd were married within 6 weeks of knowing each other. Can you imagine?
That's quick.
It's quick.
Well, and even with Portia saying, I guess she said they said, I love you on the first date. Do you remember
Very
when
Pete
you said?
And Ari.
Very Pete and Ari. At least there are no tattoos involved
yeah.
yet. Do you remember when you said I love you to Aaron for the first time?
It was like a few months in, and
yeah.
he had to be drunk to tell me.
Right. I mean, I think I said it to Danny first, and I was drunk in order to tell him. But it was months in, you know?
Right.
Like, it wasn't that early on. No matter what you feel, I still think there's, like, you know, a grace period between the moments
right.
in a relationship. But Portia's, you know, like you said, she's having the baby now. They're moving full speed ahead, and she seems happy.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned no tattoos are involved. Just, we'll stick a pin in that one.
Oh,
we'll come back to it later.
Okay. Oh, do you think with the baby involved, she'll want to do a baby nap again?
Good question. I mean, do you need a baby nap if you're getting married?
I don't know how baby nups work. I would imagine yes.
I also don't think that they're really binding. Like, there's a whole...
Right.
I mean, maybe, but it's a child.
Right.
It's not
legal...
like your wedding ring deciding
right.
who gets that.
Right. Well, and also,
Golnessa.
Speaking of wedding rings, I thought this was kind of suspicious, or perhaps it's more of like, I'm not a very superstitious person, but I did find it interesting that Portia used the same jeweler as her previous
as
engagement
Cordell.
Ring. Yeah.
I don't think I told him this is where I got my wedding ring.
Is that your wedding ring?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're wearing it like it's costume jewelry.
They're a great jeweler. Why am I gonna drop them? Because I dropped the guy. Different ring, different man, right?
Yeah, I don't love that.
That feels kind of strange, doesn't it? It feels a little bit like there's some bad juju there. I mean, the jeweler seems lovely, and it seems like they have wonderful things to offer people, but it's so interesting. I feel like there's something about that association and everything that Portia went through in that relationship that I still feel like there should be a fresh start. There should be like a new rock from a new place and just start fresh.
Totally.
Right?
Definitely agree. I can't wait to see the rest of this season.
Me too.
I have skipped a little bit ahead.
Oh.
And it's just so good.
Well,
keeps getting better.
If you've skipped a little bit ahead,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what it is that Candy knows about Dennis and what Dennis may know about Candy, because Portia and Dennis had that awkward exchange in the car where they were driving along and Candy came up and he kind of got weird and Portia kind of was like, okay, and just like kind of moved fast.
You know Candy.
Mm-hmm.
You've met her before?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
I mean, I don't know.
Around?
But we see in a preview clip for next week's episode, Candy on the phone with Todd, and she kind of is, oh, you know, I know him, and I know some women that he's involved with, and all of that sort of stuff. So it's interesting, you know, it must be tough when you're trying to date someone new and bring them into your friend group, but there's these preconceived notions of who they are and yes. what they've done.
Yes. Well, yeah, we know that from Real Housewives of New York.
Nope.
With Tom.
Tell me it's not about Tom.
But everyone knew who Tom was, it's and true. They all had their ideas of who he was. And Cynthia went through it last season with
That's
Will.
That's right.
Well, this is quite messy.
With Eva, yes. That was such a moment. That was good. That was good. I mean, it goes, I mean, we've seen that in other franchises too. I mean, Giselle and Sherman on Potomac. You know, I mean, I guess it's sort of like you are just looking out for your friends at the end of the day, and you do want to let them know what you've heard. And I feel like with Atlanta especially, like, word travels fast on those streets, and they all know a lot about each other and people in their circles. So, you know, I think they're just kind of looking out. But, you know, Candy and Portia are still, I think they're okay, but I think they're always going to have a little bit of that riff. So maybe Candy just doesn't know how to approach that.
Well, I'm glad you asked me about how Candy and Dennis know each other, because I asked her that.
Ooh.
So you guys make sure you listen to the interview later in the episode.
I gotta know.
Yeah. Okay, should we talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere?
It's back. Yes. I have to say, I thought watching this episode, the theme was sisters are doing it for themselves.
Oh.
And maybe it's just because First Wives Club is my favorite movie and that song will pop into my head all the time when I see women doing amazing things. But I felt like there were a lot of moments throughout the episode that were, you know, female empowerment, women standing up for themselves, doing something for themselves. And I think the first instance we kind of see of that is Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Joe in the situation that he's in.
Right.
She's sort of taking this time to, you know, work on her mind and body and spirit. And she's going out there. She's bodybuilding. And she talks about it when she's training. She talks about how, you know, he would never let me go on stage in a bikini. And she was like, I'm going to do it while he's gone. And I love that. I'm really happy for her.
It makes me both happy and sad. Happy because she is discovering herself, but sad that it took him going to prison for her to be able to find herself.
Right, right.
I mean, women should be able to do what they want to do.
It's true. It's very true. And, you know, she is balancing a lot right now. And I feel like she has a lot going on in her life. With him gone, there's a lot of responsibilities that have fallen on her. So it is sad that it's taken that for her to be able to put herself first, but at least she is taking the time to do that so she doesn't get caught up in the rest of it.
Would you ever do a fitness competition?
I don't think I could.
Me?
I don't think I could build that body mass.
First of all, yeah. Second of all, it just seems so miserable. You have to bring your own food to a restaurant?
I mean, I will say you can save money. But I mean, she was like, just give me a plate of lettuce. Like, that's all she asked for. And, like, no
she
carrots.
She couldn't even have the carrots. Too much sugar in carrots.
That's crazy.
And you can't drink? My God, what
I know. I would do it, like, as a crash course, like, whole 30 days type of situation.
Yes.
But it seems like
live for a fad diet.
Exactly. But it seems like her process is so much longer and there are so many more restrictions.
Yeah.
But it pays off in the end. I mean, look at the way she looks, you know? I mean, I don't think it's particularly for me.
Right. I kind of want to see what you would look like. That should be like a generator. See what you would look like as a fitness, as a bodybuilder.
Oh my, I don't think either one of us would look right. There's no way. I have to say, too, you know, Dolores has a moment where she kind of stands up for herself, too, given that, you know, her husband's been disbarred and there's this whole situation. And she's sort of like, there's this level of trust that isn't there between them anymore. So I like the way that she kind of confronts him about that, too, because she's just sort of like, you need to be honest with me if this is going to happen. Because, I mean, did she really find out about that at the reunion from Andy?
Okay, well, so I was at the reunion when he asked her that, and I had no idea up until the premiere that any of that had happened. And I remember thinking, why is he asking it in such a pointed way?
Right.
It could be that he had no information either and was really just trying to figure out, well, why don't we see him at work,
right,
you know, if he's a
he
lawyer?
He might have known the question to ask.
Right. Mm. But so when I watched the premiere, I was like, oh, shit.
That's like the worst place you want to find out about something like that to someone that you trust and love, of course. I do have to say, Dolores used one of my favorite things to say. I believe she was referring to Danielle Staub. She called her a wackadoo.
She's a f-ing nut. She's a troublemaker. She's a f-ing wackadoo.
Oh, yeah.
And so it just like rolls off the tongue so nicely. Yeah, and it's just a perfect way to explain someone who is just crazy.
Yes. A wackadoo. Yeah.
So what about, tell me a little bit about your first impressions of the new wives. We got to see them a little bit at Melissa's birthday. What do you think? I mean, we don't have a lot to go on, but.
I know. So I'm sorry, you guys. I watched ahead on this one too. And I will say you learn so much so quickly. Not as much in this episode, unfortunately, but starting next episode, you're really going to get to know them. And I will say that Jennifer rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Jackie is very much, I don't know, she seems very natural and part of the group. Mm-hmm. Like she's always been there, maybe.
I mean, I wonder if with Jennifer, if there's some sort of cultural difference. I mean, it seems like compared to all of the women, she has the most interesting and unique and very different backstory.
Right.
Given that she was, you know, in an arranged or set up for an arranged marriage and she bailed on it. Like, I definitely am interested to learn more about that because I do find those things, like, so fascinating.
Totally.
And especially when they escape and they're like, no, and they, like, go against everything that they've been raised with.
Went against it, but also dated her husband while chaperoned.
Wait, who was it? I think Margaret said something like, how are you supposed to do anything? Like, if you're if there's someone on a date with you, and it's so true. I mean, I can't even imagine a chaperone. Like, do they sit at the table with you, or are they at the table next to you? I don't know. It's strange, but it'll be interesting to hear more about, you know, that experience and what it was like for her.
Yeah,
she's from Turkey, right? Is that what it was?
I think so.
Okay. All right, and I have to say too that I think we found a breakout star of New Jersey, and I think it's Marlaney.
Marlaney has been with me forever. She is the fastest cleaner I know. She does misplace everything, but she also happens to be the best dancer and is great for entertainment value.
I mean, the executive in charge of the show warned us before the premiere.
She gave us warning, and she was absolutely right.
You know who it reminds me of? Did you watch Feud on FX?
I watched the pilot episode, the first episode.
Okay. She was Joan Crawford has a house manager.
Oh, yes.
And they are just so similar in their mannerisms and a little bit the way they look. So,
interesting. Yeah. I mean, I do love that sort of, you know, I'm going to say character, even though Marlaney's a human woman person. But it reminds me of Gossip Girl.
Oh.
Of Blair's.
Yes.
And she was like the favorite. Like, she was one of the breakout, I feel like, characters of that show because she was just always the one keeping Blair grounded. So I do love that sort of character type. And I feel like Marlaney is going to continue to steal the show and kind of be almost the heart of a lot of the situations that we see because she was just really fun. She was. Like the way she looked at the glass, you know, she like burps in Margaret's ear. It's great. It's great.
Oh, God.
And then also looking ahead to Danielle's wedding, this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out this season because obviously we know what happens. I mean, are we going to see signs of trouble in paradise along the way?
I asked Margaret if she did because she was so close to the situation. Oh. You'll have to wait and hear what she said.
So many answers, just so close. All right. Well, I'm going to do double duty today.
Oh,
so why
okay.
don't we talk a little bit about some word on the street? So just the other day was Bethany's birthday. Mm-hmm. So we saw some posts from housewives and other people wishing her happy birthday. But the one I want to talk about is Kyle Richards. So she posted a series of pictures with Bethany, like a throwback picture from her wedding. There was one with Paris Hilton in it. Some kind of hungover saga that they had where they had gone out after one of Bethany's launch parties. And it was like Bethany had no makeup and she was like, it's all Kyle's fault. But then the other picture that just seemed very random was it was the two of them pretty recently. And Rita Ora.
What?
What is she doing there?
Which one of them is friends with Rita Ora?
I would imagine just through a series of like Kyle and then Paris and Nick, like I feel like they might be the through line. But, you know, Rita did also date Rob Kardashian back in the day.
Right.
That's all, they're all kind of in the same.
They could have been at a 50 Shades red carpet event. That's and true. Rita Ora was there.
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, I want to know more. I would love to know more, but I thought it was really cute. I love those throwback pictures of seeing them when they're really young and how different they look, whether it's age or other things that have changed the way they look.
How dare you?
But it was great to see, and, you know, happy birthday, Bethany.
Happy birthday.
I also wanted to talk a little bit, you know, we're talking about Vanderpump Rules earlier on. I think Jax might have fatherhood on the brain, and I'll tell you why. So he posted a picture on his way to a charity event, and he made this really funny, like, golf pun. I mean, it wasn't super funny, but it was a golf pun, and he hashtagged it dad jokes. And I will say, Jax was looking like a snack in this picture. He was looking pretty good in the pic, and he, you know, made the dad jokes hashtag there to kind of be like, I know I made a silly pun. But this isn't the first time recently he sort of made a dad reference or talked about things.
Yeah.
He also tweeted not too long ago, right around Halloween, I got to be honest, I can't wait to take my kids trick-or-treating and or stay home and pass out candy. It's the dream very soon.
Okay, I am just going to say this. Any listeners out there who are like, yeah, I want to see Jax as a dad, I'm going to tell you, you don't. Because Jax said in an interview that he will not raise his children in L.A. He would move. So if Jax and Brittany decide to have a kid, that's the end.
Right.
So we have to keep that in mind. We need them to put off this parenthood thing a little bit longer.
They seem to be on that track, though. I mean, a wedding is coming, and we know first comes love. Then comes marriage, and then what comes? A baby carriage. So
yes, that is how it always happens.
Always. I mean, they are also parents to two adorable dogs,
right?
And Jax takes a lot of pride in that, and you know that's a good stepping stone to sort of get introduced to what it's like to be responsible for another living creature.
Okay, I will be okay with it if they all relocate to the suburbs.
And
they all are crazy but have kids.
Right. I mean, the suburbs in L.A. can be the valley. He can just go to Sherman Oaks, you know, Van Nuys. Like, there's plenty of places he could go where he's not too far away.
Okay. You've sold me. Have a kid, Jax.
He also, this I thought was pretty playful, too. It has nothing to do with being a dad, but he made a really funny joke about getting another nose job.
Oh, God.
So I guess he was out and he hit his face. He said, other than me busting my big nose against the wall last night for the third time and only a few people saw, I would say it was a great night. Might need another nose job soon. JK. But maybe he's not.
Jax, don't do it. Don't do it.
No more.
This will be the one that goes terribly wrong.
Right. I feel like you only get a certain number of nose jobs before it gets weird.
Weird.
We don't need that. We don't need that.
Well, is that all?
That's all I got.
You gave us a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of Jacks, but all right. That's it.
You guys continue to tag Eric in your social media posts, things he needs to see.
Show me. Show me what I need to see. Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
The people in the room, they gasped. It then became clear what this was about.
And the fact of the matter was, he was a crook.
This is a story that is not well known.
This grave constitutional crisis thing.
But it really should be, especially maybe now.
That's really, to use a legal expression, that's when the hit the fan.
Oh my God.
We're on tenterhooks, right?
It's absolutely unprecedented. At least it was then.
Rachel Maddow and MSNBC present Bagman. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
We should go into our amazing interviews.
Yes.
So Candy's first time on the podcast was today, and I am so excited because she gave so much good info. She talked a lot about the drama and about the group's chat. There's a Real Housewives of Atlanta group chat. Can you imagine?
Who is everyone in it?
Well, you have to listen and find out. Here's that interview. Candy Burris, welcome to the Daily Dish podcast. So happy to have you.
Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Like everyone, I watched the premiere of Atlanta, and then I went so far as to beg for episodes throughout the season. And
oh, wow.
It is so good.
Well, thank you.
That said,
I wish they would give us some more episodes to look at.
You lived it.
Yeah, but it's different when you see it on TV and And we see how, you know, what the other people are saying behind our backs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, because I've watched a few ahead, I have a question. Is there any baby news you would like to share today?
Am I pregnant? Is that what you mean? No.
Baby on the way?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
Okay. That's all you're getting. All How right. about that?
Fair enough. Fair enough. But Kenya Moore did recently welcome a baby.
Yeah, she did.
Have you talked to her recently?
Yes, I did. I talked to Kenya. She's doing great. The baby is doing awesome. And, I mean, she's really just getting settled in because that was just a day ago.
Yes.
But, you know, so she's just really getting settled in. And, yeah, I'm so happy for her.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Portia also expecting.
Yes.
And from the jump, wow, like since the last reunion to the first episode, I mean, she's practically engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a lot of feelings, maybe.
About what?
Well, I don't know. Both you and Dennis made some like ominous comments. He said that he's been to Old Lady Gang a few times. You said you know of him. Uh-huh. How do you guys know each other?
Well, honestly, I didn't know that he had been to Old Lady Gang so many times. He said that he comes a lot, which shouts out, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate you giving us the stamp of approval. But he has a club in Atlanta, and I know I've been there before, but I didn't remember had we met or not. But the way I knew of him is because I had a few friends or associates who have dated him.
Mm.
Yeah. A few.
It sounds like maybe more than three.
I don't know.
Well, now that they're officially engaged and expecting, do you give more credence to their relationship?
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. So if you, from the way I feel now compared to the way I felt when we first started taping, I definitely am more supportive of their relationship at this point.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, I want them to be happy. I want them to have a happy family. When they decided that, well, when she told us that they were actually having a baby together and they were going to be a family, basically, I'm like, okay, well, at this point, it's the only thing is for us to do is support you, you know? Because why would we keep sharing negative things with her, knowing that she has definitely decided to move forward? To me, in the beginning of the relationship, that information would have been, you know, more important, because it's like, okay, going into meeting someone new, I feel like you should know what you're getting yourself into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying he was a bad person. I don't want people to take that from my conversation. But I'm just saying that there were things at the time I felt like, you know, she should have known.
Yeah, you wanted her to proceed with caution.
Yeah.
I love that you're telling her, you know, maybe don't mention to him that you want to get married. And then we see what's happening.
I didn't really, especially at the Miami trip, that was our first all-cast taping of this season, right? Oh. So we were just really getting back started, and she and I hadn't really been around each other since we had saw each other a couple times, but not much since the reunion. And at the reunion, she and I said that we were going to try to do better about, you know, leaving the past behind and try to start over. And so in starting over, how do you start over and you're dropping negative information about the person that they're dating or that they're interested in? And so I really didn't know how to handle the situation when we first started taping, because I'm like, okay, do I tell her this? But if I tell her this, she probably going to automatically put it as, oh, she trying to hate on my relationship, or she trying to, you know, because all of the drama that we came off of, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like, coming into this, I was like, okay, if she and I were really in a great place, I would have been told her, you know what I mean? But because we weren't in such a great place, I didn't really know how to proceed with the news. Right. And then on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, why should we give him any passes? We give no other guys passes, you know, when they first come around this group. So, you know, that was the second thought, like, okay, well, forget it. I might as well tell her. But, you know, but before I got to that place, I was kind of like, ugh, I don't know. At first, I wasn't going to say anything about what I had heard about him. I was going to keep it to myself. But I did feel like, I feel like she has the tendency to go too hard when she first starts dating people. I mean, and I'm just saying by what we've seen on the show, right?
Contracts.
Oh, the baby nub. What was the other guy? We had did a full surprise party and she had on jerseys. And then next day he broke up with her. I mean, it was just, you know, back-to-back situations that were happening. And I get the place where she's at in her life because, I mean, prior to meeting Todd, I wasn't really caring, I guess, because at the time I already had a child, but she didn't have any kids yet. So, of course, you know, getting into your upper 30s, that's what a lot of women want, the marriage and baby, you know. And so I understand that she was excited about or is excited when she, you know, gets in a potential new relationship. But I just kind of was like, okay, because I had heard things about him, I just kind of felt like, how do I tell her to be cautious without saying anything? So my first thought was to just tell her to just take your time.
That's fair.
Yeah.
In the premiere, we see you win this amazing music award.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I want to know what is left even on your career bucket list.
Oh, I have lots of things left on my bucket list. There's so much that I want to do. So much. I mean, my husband and I, we want to produce a movie. I would love to do more acting. And I mean, me personally, the EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. You know what I mean? I've got it. You know, I've got the Grammy a long time ago. But then when you think about, you know, you see other people getting Emmys and Oscars and Tonys, in my mind, I'm like, how could I get that? How could I make that happen? You have to do so much to make that happen. But then when I look up the history of it, it's so many people, you know, they had been doing it 40 years, 50 years before they were able to receive all of them. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I still got time.
Yeah.
And I need to just do as much as I can in every area that I can to be able to even be considered for something like that, you know, or to, you know, the different awards to be able to acquire all of them. But, you know, that's just a dream in my head that I don't normally share with people, because some people always, if you say something like that, and then people are like, ah, that's never going to happen, you know, whatever. But I believe in the thing that everybody says will never happen will happen. And I'm just moving forward.
Yeah.
With that in mind.
Because you have so much happening in your business life, is there a roadmap that you're sort of sitting with at the beginning of each year? Mm-hmm. Or a blueprint? You just kind of take it as it comes.
Yeah. Now, mind you, it would be nice if me and my candy-coated team planned a little further ahead. But we seem to never do that. We're always making things happen in the clutch. It's like I come up with these grand ideas and I bring them to Don Juan in our little circle. And I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I want to do it tomorrow.
Right.
And they're like, what? So, yeah, it's like we every year we know that we're going to do something. Like, I can't have a year where nothing happens. It just does. That's not. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every year I know I'm doing something. I don't know if it's going to be what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. Yeah.
I love to ask all of our housewives and other Bravo celebrities this question, but do you and the other Real Housewives have a group chat?
We do.
You do?
Yes, we do.
What's it called?
Let me see what they put a title on it. Let me see. They were just texting on this thing the other day. I got them on mute. And I only, oh no, it's just Housewives with the Peach. But listen, the reason why I got them on mute is because they text too much and it's too much bling, 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 bling. And once they get started, I swear to you, I may be talking to you right now when I look down, it's like 30, 40 text messages. And they will tell you, I'm not a big phone person or a big texter. I'm like a straightforward, like, hey, what's up? What you doing? Okay, I'm meeting you here. That's it.
Yeah.
Or a yes, no. I'm a very short, straight to the point person. I'm not going to give you long-winded answers. I don't want to keep going back and forth, like, with silly banter.
So since there have been some housewife shakeup since last season. Have any of the ladies been kicked out of your group chat?
Well, no. This group chat was started with this new season.
Okay, so is Shamari on it?
Yeah. Yeah, Shamari's on it. Even the friends of the show are on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all consider each other. It's a Housewives group chat. So Tanya's on it. Marlo is on it. Cynthia, Nene, Portia. Who am I forgetting anybody? Yeah, I think that's all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, Eva. Eva's on it. Yeah.
Okay. Who's the most active?
Oh, once they get started, all of them, they all feel like they have to chime in on every text. Like if somebody says, hey, girl, I'm whatever. Then it's like, oh, thank you. Oh, great. Oh. And then, oh, my God, okay, this is funny. Nene did not know how to do, you know how you make the screen shake and do
other
stuff?
Right.
She didn't know how to do that at first. So they had to do a full tutorial on the group chat of how to do this. So now they feel like they always have to make an explosion on the screen, or I'm just like, really? Okay, great. But I mean, I love the group chat.
Yes,
I do. But I just can't go, like,
right.
I say one word and then I'll go back and then I look at it later. And yeah.
Since you brought Shamari in, do you feel any pressure for her to do well this season?
It's so funny that you say that. Okay, so Shamari and I do have history. Shamari's my girl. I mean, she's, you know, a friend. We've been knowing each other for years. We had kind of lost touch for a while, but she's been in the music industry for a long time as well. She was in the group Black. I actually wrote the remix to their first hit single that they ever had. And we've always been cool since then. I was cool with all her group members, yeah. Everybody. Okay. Anyway, so just to give you the backstory. Uh-huh. But now, you know, I'm also cool with her husband, Ronnie DeVoe. Mm-hmm. He's a new addition in BBD. They actually performed in my wedding, BBD did.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, that's just the history. But I do feel somewhat responsible for Shamari. And I do not know why. It's like, I just want to see her do well. So anyway, coming into the season, I didn't know how it was going to go, you know, but I know Shamari is a very free spirit and I know she likes to have fun and, you know, but I can't really give too much about future episodes, but at a certain point, you know, I was just like, okay, I need to look out for her more, you know. It's always hard for people on their first season. So I feel like when this season comes, I'm wondering, you know, how is Shamari and Ronnie, how are they going to feel
right.
as the season plays out? But yeah, I definitely do have that feeling of I want her to be good. I want her to be okay. I want people to like her. I want her to, because she is very likable.
Yeah.
But you never know how it comes out when it's edited, you know?
Right.
But she's a very fun person and sometimes she says what she thinks, and but sometimes that could be too much.
Mm-hmm.
But not too much if we're just, like, us hanging out. But, you know, some, like, too much as in the world is watching. And, you know, it depends on if you can handle what the world has to say. So for me, for instance, I don't give a damn what everybody has to say. I just say what I want, do what I want. People are like, oh, my God, did she just say that, do that? And I'm like, okay, whatever. But I also have a family that understands that I'm like that. And they just like, okay, Candy, whatever.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? But, you know, for her family, I don't know if they're going to be, like, you know, upset that they're being judged, upset that, you know.
Whatever. Right, yeah. Well, a few eps in, I'm a fan, so thank you for bringing her into our lives.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad she's here.
And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Okay, so I love her to death, Margaret Josephs. Was also in the office. And as she said herself, we have great chemistry. So I love you, Margaret. Thanks for coming in. And she talks a lot about Danielle, which is really what I needed to know.
That's what I need to know.
Here you go. All right. We are back.
I am back.
Margaret is here. Margaret, how are you?
Good. How are you, Doc?
Good. I'm so glad to see you again.
Love seeing you.
Second season. How does it feel?
Feels good. Feels like I'm home.
Does it feel less nerve-wracking because you've done it before?
Yeah, it's definitely less nerve-wracking. I think this season was a lot more fun for me. You know, last year was a little stressful. You know, So this season was a lot more fun. Not saying that there wasn't drama and hysteria, but I think it wasn't as stressful.
I always wonder, because some people, maybe even mm-hmm. some people on Jersey, have a great first season and then their second season a little more difficult.
I don't feel like that's the case for me.
I have to say, I've seen some episodes. I don't think that's the case either.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yes. No, yeah, I feel like it was great for me. I enjoy it.
I want to talk about your tagline. Mm. I can make you laugh or make you cry. Your choice.
Yes. I make a lot of people laugh. And the people who don't have a sense of humor, you know, start crying. It's the way they take it.
I feel like the taglines are usually, they give a hint of what's to come this season. So do you make anyone cry?
Absolutely. Definitely people cry this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody gets me. And you know what? I don't want to make people cry. But if they push it far enough, you know, I can say some cutting remarks. Mm. But, you know, if you push the Marge, you know, she could say some bitchy shit.
I love the taglines because it always seems like such a process behind the scenes to come up with
it. Yes, it has to fit everyone's personality.
Right. Do you remember if you had any alternatives? Did you come to the table with any ideas? Or were they like, we crafted this perfect one for you?
You know, I always come to the table with ideas, but I think this was the most fitting of my personality.
Right.
You know, what was one? I said, they say you are what you eat. I don't remember eating bombshells. And I thought like, you know, and I thought it was funny. It was like, because, you know, I'm very, you know, buxom bombshell. Right, and then I drop bombshells on people. So I thought that would have been funny. But I think this one's more fitting.
Yeah, this is a good one. So we have two new wives this season. We have Jackie and Jennifer. Since you were so recently a new housewife, did you feel like you went out of your way to sort of welcome them?
You know what? I love to be around new people. I'm very welcoming. I don't feel intimidated. You know, some people feel intimidated by new people. I was thrilled. I was friends with Jackie anyway. I adore her. I met her, you know, through another mutual friend of mine. I was very welcoming. I'm much closer with Jackie than I am with Jennifer. Jackie's definitely much more my speed. But I was very welcoming, and I'm thrilled to have them in our friend circle. But Jackie definitely, you know, she's one of my closest friends.
Yeah. So you guys go to Oklahoma.
We go to Oklahoma. Actually, it's my trip. I was working on a kid's hospital gown line, but my best friend Polly lives on a cattle ranch in Oklahoma, and I thought it was great to get the girls out of their glam lifestyle and go to Oklahoma and, you know, have a good time. It's different.
I think it's good because you know, Vicky Gunvalson from OC has historically said, like, she hates Oklahoma. She doesn't know why anyone would live there.
Oh, really? Has she?
Very offended a lot of people. But you guys really made it kind of cool to go to Oklahoma.
They, you know what? The girls loved it. And Teresa was the most adverse to going. And she really loved it. And my girlfriend Polly is so welcoming. And her house is like I call it the Ponderosa. And her house is beautiful. And her land is beautiful. We did a bunch of fun things. It was really a great trip.
That's awesome. So you make kind of a few comments in the first episode and also second and third mm-hmm. about wanting a facelift because, you know, Marge Senior, she's getting hers. So you were kind of, you know, wanted to make sure you kept up.
Yeah. Marge Senior, you know, is going on some like world tour of redoing herself. And I was like, Joe, this isn't right. Starting to age, great, you know, turned 51. I was like, you know, was turning 50. I was like, my face is heading south. Obviously, you know, gravity. I've gotten a lot of sun. I don't do fillers because I feel like a lot of people start looking like a cabbage patch. I was like, let me just pull it up a little tighter. Joe's like, you look gorgeous, look beautiful the way you're. I was like, no, the Marge needs some freaking tweaks. I'm just, you know, I don't want to look fake and freaky, but I want to, you know, maintain.
Yeah. Do you feel, because I feel like watching yourself on a show must have some effect on wanting that. Like, do you think hitting 50, if you weren't a real housewife, you still would have felt the urge to get one?
I think I probably would have felt the urge, probably not as desperately to do it, because you see, like, every time I wouldn't see my profile as much when I'm looking down to see, like, my extra skin hanging. But I did do my eyes 6 years ago before I was on a show, because when I had went to the doctor, I said, you know, Dr. Roma, I need my eyes done. And it was, he actually gave me a brow lift also. He's like, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You got to raise the curtain rod before you raise the curtains. You need a brow lift too. I was like, okay. So I did that, you know, and it wasn't like a major surgery. I looked no different. No one even right. knew I had done it. And, you know, so I was just like, Joe, if I do a facelift, it's going to be very natural. No one's going to know. I want my old face back. You know, this is not my face. I don't have a squarish type jawline. I'm starting to look like little, I'm starting to look like Marge Singer Sharpay style, you know, and we don't want that.
I feel like watching all of the Bravo shows is having an effect on me because I'm like, oh, wait, I see what they're saying now. Like the fatty skin around the eyelids.
No,
yeah.
Oh, come on. You're a young girl. You're a young, gorgeous girl with tight skin. I mean, no, absolutely not.
We'll see. So I want you to kind of give us a tease of what we can expect this season.
I always well, listen, it's the usual. It's the tears, the trauma, the delusion. But you get to see a lot of stuff. You obviously is going to Oklahoma. We see Danielle get married for the long, you know, the long duration of 10 weeks. And we know what's going on with her now. She's getting divorced. But we go on a great trip to Cabo. We see Teresa's bodybuilding. You know, you get to see a lot of great things for the women. You get our two new wives have amazing amounts of children. Jackie has two sets of twins. Jennifer has, you know, her own little tribe of five kids. I think you see what's great about this year is you see a lot of individual families and personal relationships, which is super interesting, which I think we didn't have as much last year. A lot about my business, a lot of charitable things. I think it's so great. There's so many different storylines, which I think the fans are just really going to love.
Yeah. You touched on Danielle, and we get to see you be a maid of honor this season.
Yes, yes.
That is maybe one of the toughest jobs as a girlfriend.
Ooh. I know what you must say. Teresa and I are both, well, we're matron of honors because we're married.
Right.
And it is a tough job. And it's a tough job when you're doing it for Danielle Staub.
I mean, you know,
she is demanding. She is demanding. You know, and it was tough. She was definitely Bridezilla Central. I'm not going
to
lie.
She filmed a video for BravoTV.com where she was like, my bridesmaids need to step it up. Step it up.
I mean, if it was her first wedding and she was 25, I could have understood it. But this was, I was like, girl, I mean, you know, you're all bougie and stuff. Hire a wedding coordinator and let them do everything. I was, you know, she expected a lot from us, you know, to do things. I mean, at that age, who wants all that nonsense?
Right.
But, you know, she wanted. She wanted the big hoopla, the everything. And she got it. And I'm not going to say it was a beautiful wedding. She was the most gorgeous bride. I told her I loved her dress. I told her she looked like she brought in a ship. She was like off of a pirate's boat, like a sea wench. She was stunning.
Yeah.
But you know what? Things unraveled in her marriage and things unraveled with us.
So the friendship did not survive. The friendship being a matron of honor.
No, the friendship. Yeah. To say the least.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
No, I mean, that's good to know and also kind of relatable. I think a lot of friendship.
I don't think it was the matron of honor point as much as just I think it brought out her. I saw a side of her that I didn't love and I tried to discuss with her, and some people don't want to hear the truth. And I was very honest with her. And I think that's, you know, a characteristic I have. I'm going to tell you the way I feel. And if you can't, you know, and I can move past from it. But some people just want to hear the nice and the fluff and, you know, you blow smoke up their ass. And I'm not that girl. Obviously, you know, I can survive a lot of things. You know, my marriage is surviving. There has to be something said when you're close. And I'm not trying to insult her. And I'm being honest. I want her to be better. And I want good things for her. And I do feel bad her marriage didn't work out. Did I want that to happen to her? Absolutely not.
Right.
Because I feel sad about it for her. I really do.
Well, you spent all that time with her as she was planning her wedding. Did you see cracks in the relationship?
I did. Her and I fought a lot. We absolutely fought a lot. I mean, there were people who were supposed to be in the bridal party who, you know, backed out. There was definitely cracks. I mean, we argued about nonsense, about her registry, about this, that we weren't doing right. We weren't doing the right thing. She was controlling of, you know, the people coming to her bachelorette party. This wasn't planned correctly. The girls and I planned her a beautiful bachelorette party, you know, which you could see. And it was just, I mean, it was just, I was like, could you send me the guest list? These people don't want you to have their email. Could you send me the invite? I was like, Am I substandard? I can't have people's email. I mean, what am I, like a professional stalker? I can't have people's email. These people are so highfalutin. Like, you can't have their email. I was like, most of the people there, by the way, were my friends. You know who was there? The girlfriend of the doorman of her old building. Those are the people who are at the, I mean, cut me a f***ing break.
So not Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, no, not Jennifer Aniston. You know, not the, yeah. Who was there? Wow. That I can't have their email address. Literally, I said to some woman, I said, how do you know Danielle? I met her at Hunt and Fish Club at the bar last week.
Man, I was like, okay. I could have been invited.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You are much closer with her than half the people who were there.
Did you predict things would go south with Marty so quickly?
No, not that quickly. Mm. I didn't. And by the way, he's a lovely man. He really is. I have nothing ill to say of him. He's a great guy.
Mm.
Well, he didn't know what he was in for. He's 66. He doesn't need this headache.
Yeah. Speaking of husbands, yes. Your husband got the wedding anniversary tattooed on his finger.
Yes, he did, Joe, because you know what? He wasn't always wearing his wedding band.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he felt guilty about it, but he has like a torn tendon under his thing, his ring finger. And he was like, I'll get our wedding anniversary tattooed on my hand. I was like, that's great. Of course, he was just like, Marge, you got to get something significant to me. He was like, of course, he wants his name probably like across like my ass or something. So if I ever took my clothes or across my boob, I was like, Joe, no. But, you know, I also got the misses on my arm with our wedding date. We got the tattoos together. And, you know, I always said my second husband has to have tattoos and ride a motorcycle. So I insisted he got his first tattoo when we were first together, and he always rode motorcycles. So I'm glad he got this other tattoo.
And you're not worried about the couple tattoo curse?
No. No, not at all. I mean, listen, he already had Love the Blonde You're With. So he just has to be, like, with a blonde, you know?
You guys do seem to have such a fun relationship. And the way he takes care of Marge Sr. after her facelift, a sweet man.
Yeah, he's very devoted. I mean, Marge Sr., you know, she's a handful. She demands 4 Starbucks a day minimum. You know, she has them running all over the place. Yeah. He's very devoted to his women.
You recently adopted a dog.
Yes. Bella, the real Bella Benigno. Like the real Super Joe, she's the real Bella Benigno. She's adorable. Joe was not as keen on getting her. Jan said he will, you know, co-parent when we go away. He'll take care of her because Jan loves dogs. But now Joe's obsessed with her. She's adorable. I live for her. She sleeps in the bed with us. She's so cute. I was so happy to rescue her because, you know, I also have a pet line. I was like, Joe, I can't not have a dog with a pet line.
Right.
And we always had dogs. And unfortunately, years ago, they passed away. But Bella is so cute, fun. I mean, just the cutest little Yorkie. She weighs 5.5 pounds, rules the house.
Aww.
Joe, cool this morning. Your dog on the rug. Supposedly, she was trained. By the way, I'm convinced they had her medicated when I met her, though.
Oh, really?
She didn't bark. She was like paper trained. She was like totally fine. After 1 week, the dog like barks nonstop. Like, shit's on the rug. But she's so freaking cute. I don't even care.
They trick you at the shelter.
Yeah, do they? I swear, it has to be a trick.
Yes. No, right? My dog acted so calm and cuddly. And she's still cuddly, but not calm at all.
Exactly. You That's what it is. They trick you. They give you that cute little face. Take me home. Take me home. I'm amazing. You get them home after a week. They're like, bitch, now you got me. I'm going to show you the real me.
Does Bella test the products in your line?
Yes, Bella, you know, we have some toys coming out. I have these food storage bins. We have clothing. She's been wearing some of the dresses. I think clothes make them feel safer sometimes. People say the dogs don't like wearing the clothes, but she feels confined in the clothes, you know, and she likes it. So she feels, yeah, so she's definitely testing the products out, which is good. She's a great little guy.
Yeah.
Great little dog, yeah.
I have to ask.
Yes.
You know, I think the last time I saw all of you was at the reunion last season.
That's right.
Have you talked to Siggy at all since that reunion?
Oh, God, no. And that's, by the way, I could have let it slide. No, I haven't seen her. I haven't spoken to her. I could, you know, I could just move past things like this in 2 seconds. Nothing's that important to me, really. With the state of the world, you know, we're not curing cancer. This is not that important.
Right.
You know, there's real things going on. And if this is the most important thing in her life, it's pretty sad.
Do you feel like Dolores was at all worried to get close to you this season?
No. I think sometimes she probably has, like, guilt feelings and might not tell her. But, you know, Dolores is a strong person. I sometimes think Dolores might have a harder time warming up to people, but she's very sweet to me. We chat all the time. I think our relationship has grown over the season, which I think people are going to like to see. I really like Dolores a lot. I love her personality. She's funny. She's strong. I mean, don't tell her what to do. One time I said, Dolores, don't do that. Margaret, don't f***ing tell me what to do. But she's very funny.
Right.
And I like her a lot. And she's a solid person. And she does a lot for other people. And sometimes I think she doesn't do enough for herself.
So did you reach out to Teresa after Joe's deportation news?
The same day. And you know what's amazing about Teresa? She answers a message right away.
Oh.
She has a million things going on. She answers everything right away. She's on top of it. Teresa has a very strong exterior, but and she is very amazing. That it's unbelievable.
What do you think will happen? What do you think? How do you think Teresa will deal with this change?
Like she deals with everything else. Very, she'll take it as it comes. She will be strong for her daughters and her family, and she will make the best of it. And she will, and she'll handle it because that's just what she does. I think she's a survivor. And it's she's been dealt a very big card. It's extremely unfortunate, and I'm heartbroken for her. But I think if anybody can handle something like that, it's her. She's right. One girl who doesn't crumble.
Mm. I saw in a video you did for BravoTV.com that you met Ramona Singer.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience.
The little Ramona coaster. You know, it was so funny. Prior to me going on the show, Joe always said his favorite housewife is Ramona.
Oh, wow.
Which I was a like, blonde. He was like, yeah, a blonde. He got such a kick out of Ramona. To be honest, she was very sweet to me, and it was very, very funny. She's hilarious, Ramona. But she, I mean, talk about no filter.
Right.
No filter. Someone comes over to her, yeah, like they're waiting to take a picture with Ramona. She's like eating a sandwich. She's like, ugh, you're taking too long. You know, she is so hilarious. I mean, she's just funny. She really is who she is. And that's what I think is people love her.
I know. People ask me, what about Ramona? I'm like, she's exactly like she is on the show.
She is exactly. She's going to tell you the way it is. But, you know, she's great. She's hilarious. Yeah. She's really super funny. She looks un-fucking believable for her age. She's right. Great.
So are you now your husband's new favorite housewife?
Yes. I'm now his new favorite housewife.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I always say that. But by the way, sometimes people say, who's your favorite housewife? Sometimes they'll say, you know, Ramona. I'm like, Joe. Yeah, me. Oh, no. I mean, you know, separate from my wife.
Do you watch any of the other Bravo shows?
I watch New York Housewives. Now I've been starting to watch Dallas Housewives. What else do I watch? I watch a lot of stuff. I've been watching the After Play. Obviously, I watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
I was watching the one, Below Deck. I, you know, go back and forth. The truth is Bravo's on my house at all times because I have to leave the TV on for Bella. So Bravo's on 24 hours a day. So I'm always watching something.
Yes.
On Bravo.
Well, so if you've been watching New York.
Yes.
Are you team Carol or team Bethany?
That's a very tough call.
Well, you have to answer.
I have to answer. I think Bethany was very hurt. I think Bethany was very hurt and doesn't admit she's very hurt by Carol. I think she really missed that friendship. I think I might be team Carol.
Oh.
I might. Even though I like... The only reason is I wish Bethany would have just said is like, I really love you. I'm hurt. And I want us to be together. I don't think anybody's upfront about what they're really feeling.
Right.
You know, and I think, I think they were close. And I think when Bethany gets mad, she doesn't say what she's really feeling because she is strong. She's a tough exterior. And I also think she's like I say about my husband, a rough, tough cream puff. You know, and yeah. I think she's much softer on the inside, but I think if she would just soften up a little bit, that could have worked out. And I feel sad about it. Personally, I think Carol has I met her in real life. I think she's shy, like on the exterior. I think she's amazing style. I think she dresses unbelievably. I enjoyed Carol a lot. But I'm not going to say I'm not team Carol because, I think she put it out there. And Bethany didn't receive it as well. And it got very heated. You know, Carol could have said also she had to take responsibility. She threw shit also, like Andy said. But, I'm just team Carol on that one.
See, this is why I love asking this question. Because it's never just a, like people will... I had a Jerry O'Connell in here. Very strong feelings about it.
Yeah, what did Jerry say?
He's team Carol. Yeah, I think it's Team Carol.
Yeah. I love that Jerry.
He's funny, right?
Very, very funny. Though he didn't vote for me for Rookie of the Year, and I had to write something to him on his page. I was like, Jerry, I'm appalled. Because last year when he was on Watch What Happens Live, he said he loves the Marge. He was totally on my side in all my fights. And I was like, Jerry, what are you thinking?
Who did he vote for?
I don't know. He didn't vote for Gina. He might have. Was Kelly Dodd on, and he felt he had to vote for someone on the OC?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, he might have.
Maybe
and Emily, though I love her. She's come out very strong.
Yes.
Gina's come out, and she's adorable and everything else. But I was like, relax, Jerry. I had to like write on his page. I was like, what are you thinking?
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's always so fun talking to you.
Thank you. Love seeing you.
Love seeing you. All right, it's that special time of day. Rose and Thorn.
Ooh.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what's your rose?
My very first one.
Yes.
Well, my rose is co-hosting the podcast with you.
Oh,
today.
My God.
Well, that and... my rose is actually from last week's OC episode when Shannon and Gina kissed and made up.
Yes.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God.
I think it's happening. I think it's finally happening. Houston, we have contact.
Literally kissed and made
up. Literally kissed and made up, which I feel like Shannon said she didn't remember or something like that. But I remember and I saw. And then there was also a little bit of twerking going on.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean, after everything that was happening on that trip and just how much Gina has, you know, wished that Shannon would just let her in and just welcome her as a friend, I was happy to see Shannon kind of come around. And I've always, you know, from the beginning of this season, I've really loved Gina. So I'm glad that they got to sort of, you know, put their things aside and kind of have fun on the trip.
I have a couple of roses. Ooh. Which I've stored them up. So my first rose is this flipping out and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills crossover we got because Jeff signed up to be in Teddy's accountability coaching group.
That's amazing. And Teddy just recently posted how this group and her program is not just for women, it's for men too.
Right.
So it's good to see that he's...
And just, he's so funny. And someone, watching him get bossed around by someone else is just everything
right.
to me.
I'm so embarrassed. Like, I cannot show you body pics.
Well, did you take them?
No.
You're going to have to do it. It can be just in a bathing suit. Don't be embarrassed. It's not going to...
Well, it wasn't going to be naked.
But yeah, I love seeing her because I miss those Beverly Hills ladies.
I do too.
My second rose is definitely this entire season of Below Deck. I haven't gotten to talk to you guys about it, but there's just so many OMG moments, like all of these inner office hookups between people who kind of keep having work-related arguments. For example, Caroline and Chandler. They sort of get into it, but then they sort of like each other. And then the same with Riley and Ashton. If I have an argument with someone at work...
You don't want to sleep with them?
Weirdly, no. Weirdly, not even close.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I think it's something about them being in these closed quarters where they just take what they can get.
I think there's something about the boat, something about the open seas.
Eric, what was your thorn?
My thorn this week was, or is, I should say, it's kind of a larger story, and it's Leanne versus Brandy.
Mm.
And the thing is, I love Leanne, I love Brandy, you know, Dallas is very close to my heart, and I hate this tension that keeps coming back. There was a brief period of time a few seasons ago when we had a friendship between them, but things have just gotten so messy, and Leanne, you know, talking about Brandy's drinking, and then in this week's episode, you know, Brandy confronts her about it, and she gets really upset because it ties back to, you know, she's like, well, my son, I am getting screened by the adoption agency, like, mm-hmm. I can't have these things flying around, and I hate seeing Brandy cry. It's just like, she's just so adorable and delicate, and just like, I'm like, I don't want her to be upset.
Wasn't it weird also, though, that Leanne didn't seem particularly sympathetic?
Yes.
First of all, in the moment, but then in her interview was
right.
just like, I don't want your tears.
Right. I mean,
she's a drunk. I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, she went hard on Brandy, and I think she isn't totally remorseful because she, I feel like, still believes what she said. And it's just, I think she did feel a little sorry for not even thinking that that could affect Brandy's adoption.
Right.
Because I think Leanne is tough and she speaks her mind and she'll say what she thinks, but she's not totally malicious to the point where she would ever want to get in.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. My thorn is really sad. It's from Real Housewives of Orange County when Emily finally decides to go through the baby box that the hospital made after she lost her twins.
Oh my gosh, those are the little handprints. Yeah. They're so tiny.
I knew it was going to be sad, but I was so overcome. I made our coworker Crystal come over and watch with me because I was just like, I can't do this alone. It's too overwhelming.
Right.
I cannot imagine going through that. Oh, anyway, it's almost too sad to even be included, but that's my thorn.
I agree. I mean, Emily's had a, you know, the last couple episodes, she's revealed a lot more about between her mom and then, you know, what losing the babies and all of that. So she's really starting to open up. And I think it is important for those stories to be told because there are so many women and people that have been affected by these kind of situations. So, you know, it is hard to watch and it's rough to see and you don't want to see. Emily is also awesome, but it is important to tell those stories. But it's just, it is hard to watch. It's, it's very sad.
But we want to know what your roses and thorns were this week. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram always at Meg Segura. Eric, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine and I got my girls with me.